dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, The Drive is live. Shout out to those of you on YouTube and Twitch doing your thing, and also those of you on the text line. We appreciate you joining us. As always, we enjoy it on a... It is a difficult Monday. The Rockets season came to an end last night, and I think there's a lot of frustration going on there, and we will...
We'll get through it together.
We will. We will tackle this thing together. I am hopefully at some point going to be just hammered. I mean, blasted drunk at some point, hopefully.
I'm drunk, I guess.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully I am. 41, I see you on the text line. Appreciate you. Happy birthday. 41, it's a weird one. You know, you're coming off of 40. You know, now it's 41 and, you know, I don't feel. But, see, it's always fun for me because my birthday's on. My
you're
birthday's
spoiled.
On Cinco de Mayo, baby.
I'm telling you, I'm telling you, as an entire, I know you don't, you're not asking for it, but I'm telling you, as a show and as a station, we are dropping the ball big time.
I almost stopped prior to the show to go get something, but I didn't want to.
I wish I wasn't coming in on two wheels. I'd have stopped and got a gallon of margaritas. In fact, anybody out there listening that has access to a gallon of margaritas, it's Joe's birthday. He likes to have a little pink tint to him. Strawberry. So maybe strawberry.
Strawberry. I do lime too.
I mean, I tell you, jalapeno, like a watermelon jalapeno.
I saw a spicy watermelon.
I mean, if anybody out there wants to ease old gallon by, you can. I mean, you can do that. We'd appreciate it. Yeah. Just let us know. I don't know if Reg is out there listening, but Reg's got a lot of free time between now and Joe, doesn't he?
You said, I don't know if Reg is listening. He's got a lot of free time. All right, but no, man, it's fun. Appreciate the happy birthday. But let's jump into this. Someone just texted in that damn Jalen Green has to be the main topic of the conversation. Listen, we got time to stretch our legs to get there. We do. I don't know if we start there. Can I start here, though? As yes, the Rockets lose last night 103-89. And I would like to also say they went on a hell of a run to get to 89 towards the end. I mean, I'm sitting there and we're in the 70s, damn it. And it's pretty deep into the fourth. And I'm just like, good God, I don't even know if Golden State is playing good. Or they're scoring well. I just looking over here, y'all got 76. Like, what is going on? But I will first like to go here. I want to give major credit to, and we'll get into the Rockets because obviously there's a lot to go there, but I want to give major credit, Clint, for them even getting this thing to a game seven. I'm not going to lie to you. When they went down 3-1 and they lost game five, they lost another close game where Steph in the game closed it out. And I think in that game, it was Peyton who started going off and getting layups in the fourth quarter late. And they took that lead and they ran on away with that one. It was 3-1, Clint. I thought this thing was over. Not just over. I didn't think they would get it to a game seven. I thought maybe they win game five, but they'll lose game six. For them to go and do what they did the last two games to get it to a game seven and to get it to a place where Clint, Most people were picking them to win that series by the time they got there, right? And everyone's, wow, the Warriors look tired. They look worn. They look all of this, and they did. So I do want to first give them credit for getting this thing to a game seven because, Clint, I thought it was all she wrote after game five. Going in, that's a big – going into Golden State to win. Now, we're going to crush them.
Yeah.
But going into game six to pull that off, I was shocked that they got
it. Yeah, after digging the hole that they dug to get to a game seven was impressive. No question about it. And impressive from a couple of players specifically, for sure.
Yeah.
I go back, Ron, right now, I go back to the question you asked before the playoffs started. Do they have to win a series for it to be a successful playoffs? And I'm asking myself, as I was sitting there last night, I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking about you asking that question. And to me, it was a productive playoff because I think they found out some things about some players that will no longer be here moving forward if they can help it. But I'm having a really hard time.
It wasn't successful?
No, man.
Oh, I thought you like. Oh, Clint.
That pissy Poe performance. They let Golden State off the hook multiple times in this series, and you just, I mean, I know a lot of people want to chalk it up to youth, and any mistake that they made was going to be chalked up to youth because they are a young team. It is hard for me to look at what I just watched, top to bottom, and think that was a successful.
I wonder in 2 weeks or a month if you'll feel the same way. It's really fresh, right? To think that they pushed these cats to a game 7 after being down 3-1, went on the road in game 6 and beat them there handily. And as you said, we learned some stuff. Like Amen Thompson after game 3 was a completely different player. He found his footing. I think Alperen Şengün probably learned some stuff. Now, even though he was 21-14 last night, it was a little rough for him. But I think it was a success going to Game 7. But damn it, Clint, the worst thing is, man, you put everything into it, man. You get it to a Game 7. And then Buddy Hield and Draymond Green get 50 points on you and you lose. Yeah. Buddy Hield and Draymond Green, you get it down like, all right, Jimmy Butler can't let Jimmy erupt, can't let Steph erupt. And then Draymond and effing Buddy Hield, as they're calling him now all across California, Big Shot Bud, he comes through with 33, 9 of 11 from 3 himself. The Rockets made 6. They're 6 of 18 as a team. Mm. And Buddy Hield and Draymond go 16-6. Draymond combines for what I believe what Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green combined. He combined what those two output was. He was 16-6-5. And I think they were 16-6-3 put together. That's the part, Clint, that is going to be tough to swallow. Is you held Steph to 3 points in the first 30 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And 8 after 3 quarters. Hell, he had 1 bucket in the final, minute of the first half. You're down by 12. That's the part that's the killer is. It was Buddy Hield and Draymond ultimately. Now, Steph came on at the end. But those two guys were the killers for you. That's the part that's hard to swallow.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the entire not winning a game where they have no Jimmy Butler. The obviously the Jalen Green fallout, Buddy Hield now at this last game. It's just like you look through this series, and this team gave they handed that series to Golden State on multiple platters, multiple fronts, multiple games. Was there some moments? Sure. There were some moments where they, like you said, they bowed their neck down 3-1 and got to game 7 just to come out flat, to put it in M.A. Doka's words, just to come out flat.
Yeah, that part's disappointing too.
Yeah.
It did feel like, because games, I would say 5 and 6, it felt like the Warriors were flat coming out. And it felt like they had gotten understanding of how to come out, and they didn't do that for this one. Like, I just assumed there was nerves to me that came out. This is game 7. This is it. The way they came out, which was weird because it had been flipped in reverse the previous two games of the series. So people texting in their thoughts. The Rockets win if Buddy doesn't have his most efficient game ever. No. Yeah, but still, they scored 103, though. Right? That's not insurmountable.
Yeah.
Like, they scored 103, and Buddy went crazy. Like, that's that. Like, you can't be down. You can't be down at the half by double digits, and Steph has scored 1 bucket.
You can't. You can't be a defense. At home. You can't be a defensive driven team, and do the job that you were doing. The majority of the game versus a couple of the most difficult players to guard in the league, and let Buddy Hield was 6-for-6 from 3 points in the first half.
Yeah, 9-of-11 for the game.
I mean, like Buddy can't and some of those shots are just shots like, hey man, he's hot.
Yeah, the
he's
one at the end
down.
Of the quarter that.
Yeah, I mean, look, that but you just can't. You can't be so good against the Curry Butlers of the world and then let him just for four quarters, you know, get.
Well, then there was never really an adjustment. Like, clearly the double, Steph and them were understanding it and finding Buddy, you know, open. Yeah. And some of their other shooters, they're lucky Pazimski didn't crush him because he got left open a lot for open shots. He was just off last night, but. I don't know. I think there's a lot of places to go there from that game. And I think one place now is, right, I wonder where people's thoughts are now. Because we've had a lot of people over the past, I'd say, couple of years with the thought of, hey, man, let's keep this young group together.
Boy, quiet right now.
Let's keep this young group together. Like, to me, I know I watched it, Clint, and was like, they clearly need to make a move. And not like just rip it all up. I don't think, but they need a piece, an added piece, and maybe one or two of these cats they may need to move on from. But I wonder, did people look at this and take this from, all right, they went to game 7 and they're learning, like maybe an OKC, and you run it back with some of these guys and make some minor additions? Or do you feel like there needs to be a major move, a major change for this team to take the next step coming out of that series? Because I think you could talk yourself into going either way.
Well, I think on two fronts there has to be a major change, right? And one is the basketball side, the literal physical basketball side of it. You could not have watched that series, and it was evident last night. I mean, Jimmy Butler did. I mean, I don't know, well, he didn't do it, but a couple of times in the second half. But there was nail and coffin type. Once the Rockets got down. 8, I think they had a chance to cut it to 3 at one point. They got down 8 and missed a shot. It was Jimmy Butler and Curry were just, hey man, it's time.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have that guy. So just what we've talked about all year long of just having that guy, and it's more evident right now than it ever has been, given the way Jalen Green performed in the playoffs, that you don't have that guy. So you got to go get that guy. But number two, I'll argue that guy would also bring a different mentality. A killer instinct that this team just doesn't have right now. You don't come out round one young as ever. You don't come out flat in a game 7 at your own place. Nobody
Fred, Adam. Well, I mean, like, the leader.
I mean, Fred can only do so much, right? I don't know. Like, I don't know that Fred's – I think there's a dynamic of when everybody in the damn stadium knows that this individual right here gives us a chance to win a title and beat teams that have the great superstars on them. That guy can change the identity of an organization in a way that Dylan Brooks and yeah. Fred VanVleet and
there's a belief too.
Big Adams, you know, yeah. There's just a different, and I think that shift needs to take place. The one thing is for sure in Houston. I said it for years, man. Get three through eight, 3 through 7, 8. Get them right. I think you got 2 through 8, 9 right.
Who's
now.
Who's 2?
Well, I think Şengün's the only one that's a 2 right now.
Amin's coming.
No question. But, I mean, he's to me, the difference between Amin Thompson and Şengün, there's obviously a huge difference if you're comparing the two players physically. But, like, when I look at them, like, there is a ceiling is literally through the roof with Amin Thompson. It's just a matter of how much can he develop it, yeah. Right? How high can he take it? How quickly does that happen? Şengün's there right now. You can lean on Şengün right now. And I know this ain't the perfect time because last night wasn't his best night. But to me, his game is developed enough. He's mature as hell. You can lean on him in a 7-game series, and you know what you're going to get. And that's a difference between him and Amin Thompson right now. Is you ain't real sure what you're going to get from Amin Thompson, which maybe this series.
Series, he grew up. A little bit more finished.
Yeah, a little more finished product.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and there's probably, like, but he could probably say he could get better. Yeah.
To me, there's your two, and great on the defensive end of the floor. I mean, I think you got the inner workings of a champion. I just
think they need a piece.
You need that right there.
Yeah, they need it. And what you say right there, Steph Curry, through. Hey, Jimmy hit a turnaround late, too.
Yes, 250. Just, I mean, 250 left in the game, and he's just sizing up Jaylen just to create the slightest of windows over a three-second dribble out. And the minute Jaylen let his guard down, it was yak. I mean, you just don't – you don't have that.
Yep.
And they got it every night.
Yep. And he just creates easy shots for everybody else, right? Just because there was so much they had to depend on and look at with him trying to stop him, sending everything revolved around him, that Buddy just gets loose, right? And Buddy's the type of guy that, again, the Rockets don't have either, even into their secondary pieces, that – boy, he just starts to feel good. He hits one, and then he can erupt and go off. Like, this isn't the first time that we've seen Buddy Hield lose his mind like this.
Yeah.
And Steph created so many easy opportunities early for him, and then the house was on fire, and you couldn't do nothing. You couldn't do nothing else. Someone texted in. Clint called it at the outset. They don't have a player to get a basket at will. There isn't a need a basket guy on the squad. I mean, this is just something we've been talking about, you know, from, you know, the end of the season when they had that tough stretch against winning teams, that a lot of those games were coming down to the end and they just didn't have a place to go.
Yeah.
And that showed up here.
Again. Well, this is just I think the point that he may be referencing is just the to me, all these other guys could have great series. They could have great games. They could, I mean, Fred VanVleet couldn't have been better in all but one game. Şengün was significant throughout. Amen Thompson came. Like, all these guys were great, but you can't, it's going to be tough to win a seven-game series, even when it's against two aging superstars that are clearly spent, right? I mean, it's three aging superstars.
Now, the Rockets might get them swept against the Timberwolves because of this
well,
series.
Well, that's the other thing is, like to me, like, what Minnesota does to Golden State matters in our conversation we're having right now. If Golden State sweeps them and just runs through them and shows that, hey, man, they're just not as good a team as
– oh, you mean Minnesota does?
To Golden State, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's going – I think that's going to tell us in Houston a lot as well.
Yeah. All right, we will discuss a lot of what happened last night as the Warriors, they defeat the Rockets in Game 7 here at the Toyota Center. Tough way to go out, but a lot to get to with this season. A successful season from start to finish, but just a tough ending. Coming up as we continue, the importance of this player for the Texans to do what? We'll let you know with that.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. As I see a lot of people having conversations on YouTube and Twitch back and forth. Shout out to Sean and Tiff and everybody. Happy birthday. Oh, shout out to you, Lauren Mack. Appreciate that. Happy birthday. Appreciate it. Rob, everybody, I see the good conversations going on, though, about the Rockets and if they should stay together. Tiff said they got to keep them together. One playoff run. I don't know about that.
I don't think it's possible. That's the thing. I mean, I just don't. If you could just add a player, that'd be cool. But I don't know that it's possible.
No, not add the type of player that they're going to need. Like,
yeah. I mean,
I don't know about that. All right, Clint. You, I know your thoughts here when we shift over to the Texans about one of their top players and the importance of Nico Collins. We've talked about Nico Collins. Hell, most of the time in the way we've talked about Nico Collins this year going into the season is that the help that he may need, the help that he may need from other receivers so he is just not, you know, just double-teamed every single week. But you think there's even something bigger of importance with him other than just getting help?
Well, no, I just think last week in the conversations about the receivers that we drafted and the guys that we've signed and just a lot of the receiver conversations, And we've always mentioned, and everybody, I think, has always mentioned, you know, Nico just, there's a period in every season where it seems like he goes out for a few games. And when you said it, I don't remember what day it was last week, but I was like, boy, I mean, just it was a light bulb moment for me of like, man, if you think about where this offense is right now, they're in a very vulnerable spot relative to Nico Collins. Like something that they're not probably haven't experienced before, right? And if you look at it in 2023, we had no idea who Nico Collins was. He emerged, and so at that point going into the season, sure, that's when D'Amico Ryans told you and I, like, oh no, I ain't got no problem. I ain't got no worries about no receivers. I'm good. I ain't got no worries about no receivers. Well, it turned out to be all right because him and Tank Dell both ended up having some pretty good years. But going into it, you really didn't know what to expect. Nobody knew what to expect. CJ was a rookie, D'Amico's first year, right? So 2023 is a wash. And then when you look at 2024, after Nico had emerged in the offseason, part of the win now moves is signing Diggs and re-upping Schultz, who at that point in time was I think the vibe was a little bit more positive around Schultz.
Knowing Tank was coming back.
And you okay, going into that year, look, Nico, we expect big things from him. He's definitely our one, which he proved and he earned. But if he goes down, you got Diggs, you got Dale, you got Schultz, you got Joe Mixon, you got a second year of CJ who navigated some injuries in his rookie year pretty well. But now you look at it in 2025. How comfortable are you guys with what we're looking at around Nico Collins? And again, we're talking about the vulnerability of the team, the vulnerability of this offense as it pertains to Nico Collins. The only knock anybody can have on him right now is that every year he spent some time on the injured list with some level of injury, yep. Right? Which I'm not holding it against him. I think it's just part of football. It's a long season. It happens. But how vulnerable is this offense with Nico Collins injured? You look up, who do you have? It's Christian Kirk. It's a bunch of rookies. It's Dalton Schultz, who can't pass protect. That version, not the $12 million re-up version, the version that everybody's disappointed in. Like, just the thought of when you said that.
Better, you do feel better with Higgins and.
Well, yeah.
They're rookies. But you at least do feel better that the turn is not just immediately to Xavier Hutchinson and John.
Well, you feel better about the wide receiver room after the draft, absolutely. But I'm just saying, like, again, this is not a team that's trying to dig themselves out of dysfunction and you hope Diggs and Nico emerge, which they did. This is not a team that made a bunch of win-now moves on the offensive side of the football and added a true blue number one wide receiver and re-upped a tight end to $12 million per. Like, you know, that's not what we're looking at right now. Right now, you have Nico Collins, yes. You also have Super Bowl expectations. You also have, we got to go compete with Baltimore and Buffalo and Kansas City in the playoffs, these AFC teams in the playoffs, all the guys that are ahead of us. We got to go compete with those guys. And if Nico Collins isn't available, how do you feel? That's the overall question is, how do you feel about going into the season? If Nico Collins is injured at all in the game, you've got to rely heavily on Christian Kirk and a bunch of rookies.
And right now, that's a scary thought. CJ being able to work it together. I think that's probably one of the reasons that they went and got so aggressive at the receiver position, right? Because it's not just a, if he does get injured, or really Christian Kirk either. Both of those guys have both had injury concerns. And theoretically, if you look at it, those two guys they drafted from Iowa State can both slide into those spots if something were to happen. They both fit the profile to play Noel, to play the slot type of receiver to fill in for a Christian Kirk if something were to happen there. And then, obviously, Higgins, his comparison, his comp was Nico Collins in the NFL. So they've actually filled those spots. Yeah. But it does feel a little bit more of a concern because, one, you know it's realistic. He's missed 18 ball games,
yeah.
Right? Like, in his 4 years, he's missed 18 games. So it's not just like a, yo, this may happen. It happens. Christian Kirk has missed multiple games a year the last couple of years. The hope is that they aren't healthy, but I do think that's why, Clint, they attacked the draft the way they did, because they got guys. Because if you remember, it's not just Nico. They've actually been fortunate that Nico has been able to pull himself together by the time he arrives to the playoffs. What they haven't had issues. Oh, hell, look at this guy.
Yeah, you want margaritas.
We got queso. It's something.
Margarita. Oh, you went queso too? Boy,
what you got.
My man
Where'd
listens.
Where'd you get it from?
My man listens. That's Lorenzo's. El Tiempo. Yeah.
There we go. El Tiempo. I love it.
Cantina right
look
there. Look at
right
Red. There.
Wait, Red.
Look at Red.
Red just got you guys some.
We were making.
Look at Red.
We'll get to it later.
Yeah.
Just got some El Tiempo.
We'll worry about the.
Hell yeah.
Come on, baby.
Damn, y'all really about to be partying in there.
Hey, that's a gallon, too. Happy birthday.
Ooh, boy.
Happy birthday to you.
Got it real quick. In a row? Like,
yeah.
The showman.
We can wait on break. Let me get that first birthday drink out.
Hold that break. Let him get a sip real quick.
I'm always good raw dog in the drive.
I'll need that straw right now, baby.
Raw dog got El Tiempo margarita right there. No straw.
It's full cup, baby.
I'm always good raw dog in the drive.
Damn, that's good.
Come on. Happy birthday, baby.
Dog, that's good.
Happy
he not
birthday.
Only did it, but he got you the best margarita in town.
And the queso, too.
Oh, man.
Reg brought chips and
that's
queso, too.
Right there.
Come on, man.
That's
what
big.
A winner.
That's cool
Come
points
on,
right there, Reg. You jumped up, Reginald.
Yeah. Hey, you didn't bring you a cup?
Coming up next.
Oh, there it is.
I'm going to continue to drink this margarita, so who knows? Clint's got a cup.
Yeah.
Damn,
Tyler ain't got a cup.
Tyler ain't got a cup. Reggie's got a cup. Tyler can't have a cup.
Sorry. No, I can't.
This next one's for you. Who knows what this show's going to sound like when we come back, but the Astros, they lost 2 of 3 in Chicago. The hell is going on? And I've never felt more about this rule than I do right now. We'll discuss that coming up next. I'm drunk, I guess.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
On YouTube and Twitch, Rob Torres says, I still think my favorite episode of this show was when Ron and B. Scott decided to take shots for every Astros run during the playoff game, and then they scored 5 or 7 in like the first 3 innings.
That was a hell of a show.
I would be honest with you, I'd typically be pissed off that you picked one that I wasn't on air, but I was listening to that one and I agree with you. I tuned in.
Well, the best part, you had to be what would scare the hell out of bosses, because you like many people, probably you came in with no explanation. You just came in listening.
I came in the first
like
the first 10 seconds. I was like, Ron's drunk. I was like, because I was coming from a golf tournament.
The guy is drunk.
And I was like, man.
I would like to call it severely tipsy.
Take that back. I can tell. Yes, I take that back. That was
severely tipsy.
No, but you don't even have to be inebriated. When you've got an alcoholic beverage in your hand, your voice changes. And when I got in that car, when I got in that truck from that golf tournament, I'd had me a couple pops, and I'm driving, and I'm like, I immediately thought, damn, he's having a good time. I was like, are they on location today? Let me find out where they're at so I can slide by. Next thing you know, we're in studio, and we got the vodka. All things vodka.
I don't know. Tito's all I found around the building.
Got a little turned up, a little quick.
Listen, they were struggling to score runs at that point. I thought, man,
it was a safe bet.
This is a 2 to 3 run game here.
Got him.
And of all people, I am certain it was Jose Abreu who went deep and hit like a three-run homer. So that was three shots that we had to bang down like in a row. And I remember, I don't even think, Tyler, it mattered what we were talking about on the show anymore.
No.
The way that the amount of people that were just rolling in, oh, shots. And some of them, our TV was behind. And some people are rolling in, oh, there it is. Two-run double.
Is that my boy Ron?
Hey, I was going to say, we got to get a tap-out threshold, man. We got to tap out. If they get to 10 runs or something, man, we got to tap this
we
out.
We just got to stay from run-oriented shot games.
Oh, the boss said, I really like the idea and thinking. He said, but maybe we go to like hot wings or something. Let's go to hot things.
I remember that now.
Oh, he's talking about. I thought you were talking about right now. I was like, damn, what happened? What are we doing?
No, he said maybe instead of taking shots, let's take like hot wings or something like that. Yeah, I was like, man, maybe you're probably right. I just didn't think we were gonna be in trouble like that. And then the Astros decided to just go off the way they did. Well, by the way, they did not go off this weekend. And I still do believe when you go into a series, Clint, and you are facing a team that is 8-23, and they were just as bad last year. The Chicago White Sox have this 2-year run that they're potentially on, they are going to be one of the worst teams that we have seen in a 2-year run in the history of Major League Baseball, unless they just turn it around. But they were 8-23 walking into this series. And you had Framber, Hunter Brown, Lance McCullers, who we will get to in a bit. But you had those three starters going, and you ended up losing 2 of 3. Now, yesterday was unfortunate because a 5-4 game got cut short in 7 innings because they called it, which I think there's something that maybe needs to be done there in 2025 right now. You can't be in a one-run game in the 7th, and then we just call that sucker. And it just be over, especially after, you know, how you don't know how wild cards, how a season can come about. There is a very easy route. You could see that the Astros could have come back and won that game that you just called in 7 innings. But, Clint, the Astros can't be losing series like this with those three guys on the mound. I know Lance was coming back, but especially like Framber, I do defend Framber. That's disappointing, man. You walk over, they walk onto the field early in the game. It's 3-0.
Yeah.
You've come out and did that. Now, Hunter Brown also wasn't very sharp either, as it was 3-0 before he started rolling, and then something came over Jake Myers, and he went crazy. But yeah, Clint, that was to be kind, disappointing to lose 2 of 3 to Chicago.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Gusto goes out there and gets tattooed, you know, in a role where he's been a pleasant surprise as a starter. He goes out there in kind of a piggyback role with Lance McCullers, and the wheels come off.
I hope he wasn't ass hurt over not starting anymore.
Well, yeah.
I hope not.
If he is, somebody needs to reality check his ass. You're Gusto, baby. That's Lance McCullers. but there's I think the way in which it happened, I think there's definitely some frustration. I don't want to nitpick it apart because it's one series, but you know, I'm watching again. This is Jake Myers on a day when I don't have anything negative to say about Jake Myers. I'm fixing to point the one thing out. I mean, how do you, you're up, I think it was 2-0 or 3-0 at the time, and you got first and second, no outs, and my man gets picked off second base.
Yeah.
Like, where's your head at, man? What are we doing? There's several things throughout this weekend overall that you just look up and you're just like, man.
And they, but they just can't afford to with their margin of error, to have guys get picked off at second base.
Well, they can't afford to get to lose a series to the White Sox. You know,
that is. By the way, like, you know, I this isn't just because this happened to the Astros, but like, there's got to be some sort of a rule here. There there's got to be a run differential or something for us to be just shutting down games after. So I know this is what they've done in the, like, you know, in the history of the game where, hey, you get through, you get through 5 innings, or hell, 5.5. It's completed or it's looked at considered as a completed game.
Yeah.
But it's 5-4 in the 7th. Like, hell, man, it's It's April or it's May 4th.
I mean, you led the game to the. You led the majority of the game. Yeah, you just took the lead.
Yeah, man, we got off days. We could come in here and figure out this like that. That's weird to me. I can understand like if it's a 5-run game or something. If it's 10-5 or something. All right, I got you.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll end it here. But shoot, man, let me know rain's coming, and let me get a lead. Boy, I'd use all my mound visits. I'd slow play that thing. I just challenge stuff. If I knew what time it was, but that is a silly, silly thing. But I did want to get to this part of it. Lance McCullers, he did get his first start, and shoot, he was approaching 1,000 days before he had started a game before. But he returned to the lineup, and listen, for his first action, obviously the pitch count got up on him a little bit. That's not a shocker from even a healthy Lance. But he goes 3 2/3 innings, no earned runs, 3 hits, 4 walks. I mean, 4 strikeouts, 3 walks on 87 pitches. Here is Lance talking about his return to the starting rotation.
Overall, you know, solid. I felt like overall stuff was pretty good. For whatever reason, just didn't feel the slider was not obviously very good. So you got a team that's, you know, 5-6 guys deep with the righties. One of my main weapons, main game plans is kind of, you know, evaporates kind of in front of you. But overall, I mean, I was happy with the overall stuff. Physically, I felt strong through the game. Wished there in the second, after those couple quick outs, I did a better job. Didn't let the inning get long on me. That's kind of the main issue with the pitch count. I think throwing, you know, another 20 plus pitches there in the second and was one pitch away from getting out of it with like, you know, mid-30s. So,
all right, that's Lance talking about his return. Super impressed. I told you I just wanted to see him, Tyler, get out healthy. Can he get out healthy?
And that was item number one for everybody. Should have been anyway.
You know, he almost went forward and didn't give up a run, right? And he got back in and he threw 87 pitches. That's a lot of pitches in that short a time period for somebody who is coming back from the injuries that he is coming back from.
I think that second inning was like 50-plus pitches.
Yeah, I was going to say, he said he added an extra 30 pitches because he couldn't execute a pitch. But Clint, for him, as he said, they're even more impressive. He had to completely ditch the slider. And still, if that is going to be your bad performance that ends up in no runs, like clearly gave him a chance to win, right? As you said, Gusto came in here and I was about to say something real lame.
Well, even Gusto.
Gustoed it out.
What Gusto end up giving up? I know three of them. The first three were unearned. There was an error in there somewhere. But the just looking at Lance's outing, I was amped for this, and I was
bury me in the age.
I felt really good about it, man. You want to talk about a guy that I thought he got squeezed in that second inning. I didn't catch all of the first inning, but the second inning, I thought he got squeezed on a couple of calls that could have very well been pitches that got him out of the inning, which ended up being bases loaded kind of deal. It ended up being a little more difficult for him to get out and run that pitch count up. But yeah, man. It's that same Lance McCullers action, man. The movement on all of the pitches is just tremendous. And I saw exactly what I needed and wanted to see to get good and excited about Lance McCullers
he's gonna get more comfortable.
Oh yeah,
he's gonna get better.
Yeah, it's nasty, man. It's still there. He's gonna sharpen up. He's gonna strengthen up. I'm sure his nerves will calm to some degree. I'm in no way, shape, or form sitting here telling you that he's who he was 1,000 days ago, but I saw enough to feel really good as an Astros fan to feel really good about Lance McCullers and the future, assuming he can stay healthy, the future with him as an Astro.
If you told me he was going to throw 87 pitches in this game and not give up a run, like that's and walk out healthy, and be good, that would have been surprised because. And this is the thing. As you look at it, we've talked about, this team is probably going to have to do something at the deadline. But if you look at this, this is something in this, not only this division, although Seattle is playing well, but we've seen that before. But in this division and in the AL, where it's you know, seven teams that get into the postseason. One big change could be if you have a top three, like they potentially could have, if Lance McCullers, you know, as you said, gets anywhere close to where he was. Like, and if this is a first sign of his first outing out, right? And we look at it, it's not like Framber got touched up by these guys. Hunter Brown got touched up more than he has gotten touched up by these guys. And then he's the only starter that didn't give up anything.
Well, yeah, and look, Eric Geddy's coming too. I mean, so I don't mean this year. I just mean overall, like, kind of he's arriving and better than most thought. So, I mean, again, you're talking about a six-man rotation that beyond the four we just mentioned is Wisniewski and Ronel Blanco. I mean, you've got some arms, man. So,
well, that helps you not have to score five runs a game.
Well, you'd hope so. Yeah, you'd hope so. But the at the end of the day, I am absolutely stoked about what we saw from Lance McCullers. I don't like the outcome of the series, obviously. There's a lot of things that just went wrong, but boy, there's two things that went right, and that was Jake Meyers' historic day.
Got into Jake?
Hey, man, did you see the list? There's been like five players in MLB history that had a day like he had.
But then he came out and got another hit yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he had
right
two.
Before he got picked off second. Yeah, yeah, but that's
they had a single that followed him too that put a score on it. He had two hits on Friday.
By the way, as I was setting the stage, the hottest hitter on the damn team was at the plate too when he got picked up. I forgot that part of it. You're right.
He said, "Hey, Jake, probably walked back to that clubhouse or that dugout," said, "don't y'all say a damn thing to me. I had four hits yesterday."
Yeah.
"Don't you say a damn. Yeah. I deserve to get picked off."
Yeah, on this team right now, don't y'all say it. If you ain't out Altuve or Pena, don't say a damn word to me.
Altuve
right
was
now.
One for 14, or two for 14 in the series himself, so maybe say something. All right, the man of the hour, or the man that disappeared in the hour, Jalen Green. Many people have talked about that. Somebody kicked off the show saying he's got to be a main talking point. Well, we will get into him. Has he played his final game with the Rockets? Do you think that's on the table? We'll discuss that next.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.